Hello, this is Pastor Nate with Beaumont Baptist Church, and I am sitting here with missionary Herb Hunter. We are in Cape Town, South Africa right now, and Herb and I are going to have a conversation here today, primarily for Beaumont Baptist Church, but maybe for others as well, on how we can be really a quintessential supporting church for them or any other missionary. So, Herb, thanks for talking to me today. And maybe you could just tell us real quickly a little bit about your family and when you came to South Africa, where you're at, and what you're doing.
Sure. So I came to South Africa in October of 2017, and I moved here with my wife and our four teenage children. And we're church planting, primarily church planting, in Knysna, small city of about 75,000 people, which is situated in the central south coast of South Africa, along a spectacular part of God's creation known as the Garden Route. So that's where we are. We're not just involved in church planting. We're also doing theological education, and I am training in biblical counseling as well as practicing biblical counseling and trying to mentor others in that discipline as well. So that's us.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Kurt. Well, I assume if our people at Beaumont Baptist Church are listening to this at this point, it probably means that we have chosen or voted to take you on for financial support.
Excellent.
And we'd certainly want to do that well, but also just very practically partner with you beyond money. So I guess what I'd like to ask you, Herb, is what is helpful to you in terms of us being a supporting church? Maybe I could rephrase that. Kind of what makes you feel like you have a meaningful partnership with a church that is in North America or somewhere else around the world other than where you're at?
Yeah. Well, obviously the best way for me to sense that a church is really partnered with us is for people in that church to take the initiative to sign up for our prayer letter. Now, many of the folks at Beaumont did that when I was at your church. But if they didn't, or if they're new to the church and just listening to this for the first time and wondering, well, how can I sign up for that prayer letter? You can do so at our website, www.hunters2southafrica.com. So hunters2southafrica.com, all one word. And if they go to that website, they'll find a place there right on the front page to sign up with their email and name for our prayer letter. And that's the easiest way to stay in touch. And the easiest way for people to keep updated on what's going on with our ministry. You can also sign up from our Facebook page. We have a Hunter Family to South Africa Facebook page, and there's also a thing there for signing up. But if people are a little unfamiliar with how that works, the easiest way is to go to the website.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, Herb. How often do you send out update emails?
Well, I update all our supporters every 2 months. So at the end of the month, every second month, I send out a prayer letter to everybody. There's about 1,500 or so prayer letters that we send out. And then I have a personal email that I send out to friends and family, personal financial supporters, as well as pastors, supporting pastors. And I send that every week. Every Tuesday night, I sit down, try to craft an email, send that out, and let people know what's going on.
Yeah. I know I certainly, as a pastor, appreciate that. I know some missionaries are out on the field. They're perhaps receiving financial support from a church, and yet you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I know I really appreciate just the constant ongoing communication. And that way, if people want to know, they can read it. And if they don't have time to read it, well, at least they have the option.
That's it. It's on them. The other thing, of course, that churches can do that really solidifies the connection between pastor and missionary, or between church and missionary, sorry, is to really pray through the requests. I try to craft my prayer letter in such a way that the prayer requests are very obvious. And sometimes if people get in touch through emails and they let us know specifically different requests that they're praying for, it helps us know that we're not just throwing something up in the breeze to see what happens. If people are actually taking an interest in the ministry, and they're actually literally praying for those requests.
Yeah, that's awesome. And maybe people read those, they pray for those, and maybe they want to communicate with you in return.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Like, is that helpful? Is that annoying? Is
no,
it really
yeah.
encouraging? What would you say?
Well, I love hearing from people. It's great to hear from people. We hear from some people. We don't hear from everybody. But hearing from people is good. I would encourage people to think about what their expectations are in return. So let's suppose half of Beaumont Baptist Church...
I want a novel.
Yeah, you want a novel. Yeah,
long letters.
Suppose half the church decides to respond personally to me, and the expectation is that I'm going to respond to each one individually with a personally crafted email for each of them. Well, you know what's going to happen, right? I'm going to spend all my time writing letters, sending out updates, and I'm not going to get any actual work done on the field because I'm too busy communicating with donors. So sometimes an open-ended letter just letting us know that you're praying for a specific request or letting us know about something personal that's going on in your life that we can pray about is very helpful. But if the expectation is that the missionary must respond to every personal email I send them, that's difficult.
Sure.
So that's not really helpful. But it is helpful, and we love hearing from people often, even just one line, reminding us, hey, it's, you know, Joe from Beaumont, and we got your letter. Thanks for sending it. Here's what we'll be doing to pray for you each day at family devotions or in our prayer service on midweek or something like that. That's very helpful, very encouraging.
I think even as we were talking, Herb, you kind of mentioned that it's even nice if things are happening at our church, if we communicate some of those things with you. So if we were to buy land, or if we were to have a baptism service, and it's just awesome. Mm. Those are the sort of things you'd love to hear about from myself, just about what's going on.
Yeah. No, that's especially helpful from a pastor, because I feel like I'm well connected to a church if I'm well connected to the pastor. And of course, your church is already sort of out at the front of the pack among most, because they send you here to South Africa before we started the support relationship to see what was going on and to get a real good grasp of the work. So that is probably the best thing a church can do, send their pastor or some leadership from the church to come to the field to see what's going on. There's nothing like being here, as you've experienced.
Oh, for sure.
And that's very helpful. So sending your pastor out, the pastor being in regular communication helps me think, okay, well, he's probably communicating with his people in his church about what's going on here, so that's going to be a great thing right away. And then any kind of information from the church or from the lives of individuals about what God is doing on your side. The other thing, you'd be amazed how many people that write me never send a picture. So I can't really even picture their faces, because I have 27 supporting churches, probably representative of 3,000 or 4,000 people. And I have no idea. I met that guy somewhere, but what's he look like? What's his family like? So just taking a quick picture and sending it is super helpful. And
yeah,
it helps the missionary go, oh, yeah, that's who that person is. And then when I'm home every 3-4 years on a furlough, those will be the people that we'll really connect with. So those personal kind of touches, pictures, updates from the other side of the pond from me is very helpful.
Cool. Oh, that makes a lot of sense there. Maybe, Herb, you could tell us, I mean, you've talked about some ways that on the ministry side of things might be meaningful, but obviously you have a wife and kids, and I would imagine that anytime someone is a blessing to your wife or kids, that's a huge blessing to you personally. Are there ways that for us as a church that we could be a blessing to your family, to your wife, your kids, just in maybe some neat, special, meaningful ways?
Yeah, I think for my wife, my wife is handwritten. She handwrites letters, which is a lost art in this day and age, but she handwrites letters to people. And it's a little disheartening when people don't even acknowledge that they've received the handwritten letter. And I don't mean they have to handwrite a letter in return. That's not the point. But if someone was to send an email, say, hey, look, or a Facebook Messenger message, or even a tweet or something to say, hey, got your letter, thanks so much, that was really cool, praying for you. Again, it's just that, oh, they haven't forgotten about us, they're remembering us over there, that's a very helpful
thing. Those little touches.
Yeah, it's the little things that you think about. Some people are real creative in how they minister to their missionaries, which is great. We've had people do all sorts of little things. It gets difficult when you try shipping something over because it's very expensive. But something like maybe somebody wanted to give to a PayPal account or give an online gift card or something that could be used in South Africa. If someone took the time to look up companies in South Africa and emailed us like an electronic voucher or something for a company here, that would say to me, oh, this person is thinking about what is over here and available to us, not just, oh, I got them an Amazon card. Oh, whoops, Amazon isn't even in South Africa. And, you know, that doesn't express a lot of thought. So little touches like that. With the kids, a little note, a card here and there. Very encouraging, those things. We read them and they just mean a lot.
Are there things that your kids just love that maybe they had either in the States or in Canada that they can't get in South Africa?
A lot of that stuff is kind of, you know, candy, sweets, stuff like that, which is very difficult to get over. But if anybody ever comes over, like when you came, you brought us a lot of stuff.
That was a junk.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful. My kids will talk about that now for a long time, that stuff you brought.
Tim Hortons.
Yeah, Tim Hortons stuff, Swiss Chalet sauce, you know. Stuff like that, our kids talk about that stuff. Wow, so-and-so brought us this or so-and-so gave us that. And they really makes a big impact on them. But truthfully, most everything that we want, we can get here.
Yeah, I mean, you're not living in a grass hut somewhere.
No. don't spoil the surprise. Yeah, but no, it's a blend of first and third world here in this country. But I stick to the first world parts most of the time, to be truthful.
Yeah. What would you say as a missionary, do you think that maybe people from North America think, wow, they're over there in South Africa and we're going to be a blessing to them and we're going to do this and it's going to be great. And you're like, whoa, like that was not great, or that's really tacky, or that's just not helpful, or it just doesn't work. Misconceptions that maybe we have on our end.
Yeah, I think most people have got that worked out now. There probably was a day where there was some stuff that people did that really wasn't helpful. I've been in a few churches where they have a missionary closet full of stuff that they want to give to the missionaries, and that's helpful to a point. I picked up some stamps there that I use from time to time. But
you
things
weren't
like
digging the missionary closet.
No, yeah, I wasn't digging it. Being like rolls of tin foil and old neckties, and it was just kind of stuff that I'd have to drag this to Africa. Why don't I just buy aluminum foil? And they have aluminum foil in Africa, you know. So that kind of stuff is just not really helpful. I've had some people since I've been here send birthday cards to my kids. First, there was cash in the cards, and then I told them, look, thank you so much, but you must not send cash over here. You cannot trust the postal service. The mail will be opened, and if they think there's money inside, they'll open it and take it, and now the card will never reach us. Packages are very expensive to send, and while appreciated, may get caught up in customs for up to 6 months. So it really becomes pointless to ship a package over. Again, unless somebody specifically is coming here, that makes a difference. Some people have even sent personal checks or money orders. And when I get over here, I try in vain to find somebody who can cash them. And if they can cash them, they take half the amount of the check in fees or something. The best thing, if you want to reach out to my kids for their birthday or something, is specifically designate, for Jared's birthday and send it to the mission. And the mission will credit that to my account, make a note that it was for Jared's birthday and who it was from. And I'll make sure it gets to Jared in due course. So it's a little more labor intensive, maybe not as personal, but it's much more likely to get to us and much more likely to be helpful in the end.
So basically, Beaumont Baptist Church should just forget about the missionary closet.
Yeah, please.
I don't know that we were thinking about that, but note to self.
Don't go there.
Maybe some used tea bags.
Yeah, used tea bags, pair of jeans that you don't want anymore. Yeah, no, I'm not interested. Sorry.
And basically, we want to do anything trying to birthdays, Christmas, go through the mission board.
Just go through the mission board. It's a much more seamless process. Do make a note when you send to the mission board that it's a Christmas gift or it's a birthday gift, because that way I won't be taxed on it as though it's income. That does make a difference. But the mission is the go-to place to send money. It makes the process of transitioning it to us a lot easier. And then if you want to send a card that says, I sent a gift to the mission, or send an email that says, I sent a gift to the mission, we can watch as our statements come through and say, oh, there's that gift so-and-so told us about, and we can make sure it gets over here. But all money should be channeled through the mission. Don't send money orders. Don't send checks. Don't send cash. That's decidedly unhelpful.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing those things. I think that's helpful because, frankly, if we didn't know that, we might try something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are wanting to help. They're wanting to contact missionaries and do something that's great. We really appreciate at Christmas time receiving, if you're in the habit of sending out Christmas cards or like a photo card in the mail with your family, hey, send one here. We'd love to see a picture of that.
What I guess if we're going to do that, we probably would need to get those in the mail like
right away.
February or December.
You can get things here in just over a month. It's probably about as fast as I've seen something move from the West. I should mention, one of the things with sending Christmas cards and stuff like that, you do have to watch the time frame that it takes. But anything with a picture on it, even if your church, say, published a photo directory of your members with their name and email and a picture, send us one of those. We would love to see that. Some churches have websites where they have online directories, and I say provide us with a password to those online directories so that we can go online and see people, to physically see what they look like. I carry, not everybody has to make prayer cards, but I carried prayer cards. I passed them out to everybody I saw. They have a physical, tangible reminder to pray for us. They have our picture on the front. And I'm telling you, the picture is what helps solidify that person in your mind. Befriend me on Facebook. If I look at your status and see, oh, this person is from Beaumont, Alberta, or this person's from Alberta around Edmonton area, I'll probably think they're connected to Beaumont or Meadowlands or one of the churches there that supports us, and I'll say, perfect. And and you can watch live, you know, sort of what's happening in our lives, and vice versa.
Oh, those pictures are very helpful just to get a glimpse of what's going on and know how to pray and things like that. One of the things I noticed just when we were at your house that I thought was cool is you said maybe Mitch send the Christmas cards and things like that. And as we sat at your dinner table after we ate and then had just kind of a brief time of family devotion with your family, I thought it was cool that you guys had a list of your supporting churches and supporting individuals, and you're actually praying for them.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we try to make an effort to keep before the family, here are the people who are supporting us. Now, it's particularly with personal supporters, it changes a lot. But we try to keep it up to date and accurate, and the kids will say, who's that again? And we'll describe them and what church they're from. You remember when we were there, this thing happened? And people are like, oh, yeah, the person that served us lasagna or whatever.
Or that really awful meal.
Or they had the, you know, remember their dog, you know, ate my sock or something like that. So that's a way to keep those churches and people in front of us. But, yeah, we do. We pray through every supporting church, and we try to bring the pastor, the church, the leadership before the Lord. But, again, I have churches, I don't know specifically what's going on there. So I'm just kind of, like, we criticize people for saying, Lord, bless the missionaries. I can't quite remember what their names are, but bless them. The same thing flows the other way. I say, Lord, bless Beaumont Baptist Church and whatever is going on there. You know, if I don't know if you're having a VBS or you're having a kids club or you're having some kind of barbecue outreach or just
the church,
you know,
split,
or the pastor resigned or something like that. I mean, it's helpful for us to have some information, too. I know Lighthouse Baptist in Edmonton, the church you're familiar with, they have a weekly email that they send out, kind of the contents of their bulletin that they send out to all their church members. They CC me on that email. So I look through their bulletin, I see, oh, there's a prison ministry coming up. Oh, look at that. Pastor Dave is away, you know, because they'll list he's on vacation for a couple. Well, I would know that if I didn't get that information from the church bulletin. Now, again, if everybody sends a church bulletin, I'm not reading them all. It's too much information. But there's not so many churches doing that.
True.
So it's very helpful.
Well, I can tell you, our bulletin is it's exciting. There's a lot going on at Beaumont Baptist.
It's a real page turner. That's what I heard.
That's right. Herb, is there anything else that you would just So hey, this would be great, or something we should think about, or any specific prayer requests that we could pray for you routinely, or even right now.
Yeah.
Just anything kind of open-ended.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me say first, I appreciate you and your wife coming. It's been a great encouragement to us to have you here. It's been refreshing to laugh and carry on a bit with another couple. I'm so glad your wife came. We've had pastors come and visit before, just the pastor. That's fine. But my wife doesn't get to interact so much. So having your wife here has been brilliant. Very, very helpful. Many thanks to the church for doing that. It's been a blessing to us, for sure. So I would say that. I would also say we've talked a lot about the philosophy that your church has going into supporting missions, that idea of taking on fewer missionaries for a larger amount, and I can tell you that that will make a significant difference in our lives moving forward and really will help solidify our partnership with you. A church that gives us $25 a month is much appreciated, but when it comes time to visit, when it comes time to divide up my time, which I have precious little of, the truth is the people who are heavily invested are the people where you tend to direct your attention. It's just a reality. So that's a great philosophy. I would encourage you in that direction, and I'll be praying that the Lord will bless and prosper your church as you prepare to do that, even if it's with us or not with us. And then as far as prayer requests go, you know, because you arrived here just on the heels of my daughter's diagnosis with diabetes, and my wife more so than me, but me as well, we're both trying to manage new food issues. There's a lot more trips to the doctor now. There's been a sudden uptick in our expenses in terms of, you know, testing strips and glucometers and insulin and all kinds of things that we didn't expect. We're insured for those things, so we're not going to go bankrupt. We're thankfully insured. But all of those things unsettle us and really have the possibility and the potential of distracting us from what we came here to do, because now we're all focused on, you know, caring for our daughter.
Yeah, you're not just missionary, Herb. You're a father.
Right.
A husband.
Yeah. Father, husband, all those things. So if you could continue to pray for Megan and our, you know, learning curve for the diagnosis of diabetes, that would be much appreciated. You've met our church now. Thanks for speaking this past weekend. Great encouraging message to our folks. You know, pray for those people, the Bevan and Charmaines of the world, the Ewan, Seatons, KG, Davika, his wife, who helps out at Frysuff with Janet, and all those people that you had the chance to meet, Neville from the hospital, the manager of the hospital. Pray for those people. We're working with a diverse group of people from a variety of different backgrounds, both churched and unchurched, and we're trying to build cohesion in a group that's fairly different in terms of their background and experiences. That's the beauty of the church, but we want to be patient, careful, deliberate in all those kind of ways. And so just pray for those people. They're precious to us. They're our friends. They're the people we love. And then there's another group of people that we're reaching out to, the Clive and Carols of the world, the Doug and Fern Emanuel, who you met at supper on Friday night, all those people that we're reaching. Pray for the community of Knysna. It's politically stable, but it's volatile.
Yes.
Right? So, all those kind of things.
So just a reminder, you say all that as we were talking about Sunday, that a day is going to come after Christ returns where people from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation will worship Jesus Christ
together. Yeah, I look forward to that.
That's a pretty cool thing on our end to be able to partner with you and hopefully be a part of eternity together.
Yeah, so, amen.
Well, Herb, I think that's all I've got.
Good. Well,
thanks for your time, man.
It's almost time for bed, isn't it?
Yeah. Four people are listening to us.
Yeah, that's great. It's all good.
Anyways, well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Sure. And do greet the folks at Beaumont for us. We look forward to partnering together if that's what God has for us.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you, Herb.
Right.
All right.